up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of The Rogues Gallery here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Thanks very much for joining us. Jason Hunt here. I am the editor-in-chief here at sci-fi4me.com. And joining me in studio, my co-host on H2O, Mr. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Filmmaker and web series developer, Mr. Kendall Sin.
Good afternoon.
And the sometimes host of The James Show and contributor and sometimes the show monitor, Mr. James Hunt.
Hello.
And you got to get right on the mic. And joining us from our Fort Worth affiliate, cosplayer and contributor, Mr. Jeff Hackworth.
Hello, hello.
Okay, so San Diego Comic-Con has just come and gone again. More popular to the San Diego citizenry than the San Diego Chargers.
Ouch.
Or the San Diego Zoo.
Or the San Diego Zoo, yes. It is critical to the economy of San Diego that they keep Comic-Con. So it's there at least until 2018. For good or ill. 130,000. Although we did see an article that we'll probably talk about at some point about whether or not it's actually in decline, but we're not going to get into that too much.
That was an interesting article. I recommend everybody go to the website and read it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But today, this particular issue of our title, we're going to be talking about the DC Comics movies and the announcements and the trailers and whatnot that came out of San Diego. For those of you who are not familiar with this show, The Rogues Gallery is concentrated on the filmed media versions of DC Comics properties. So anything and everything Batman.
Which is...
And everybody
featuring
else.
Featuring other people.
Yeah, Batman and everyone else.
He takes over other heroes' franchises.
Yeah, well, even Lego.
Yeah.
He gets his own before the Lego movie gets a sequel. So, and we get word that, is it Michael Cera?
Yeah.
He's going to play Lego Robin in the new movie. So I guess that's where we could start, is Batman 5 Superman. The Batman movie with Superman.
Well, it
and
is.
A little bit of Wonder Woman.
How much, I just want to know how hard is it for them to write a Superman movie when Superman now doesn't even get top billing in his own movie?
Okay, well, now, admittedly, they have been very, very clear that this is not the sequel to Man of Steel.
His mother has a line in the trailer he doesn't.
There's that little detail.
She has a couple of lines.
Yeah. So here's my take on the trailer, all right? This is going to be a very fast, because we've all seen the trailer, the new one where they fight. Right, and we've all seen this. So here's my take on the trailer. This is a Batman movie where Batman's the hero who comes out of retirement, Wonder Woman is Batman's girlfriend, and Superman is the villain. That's how this trailer played.
Right.
See, I didn't get that, but I did get, well, and Jason and I have talked about this before, I needed something out of this film. They had to do something very, very important, and DC still has not sent me the check. Because it's
we've talked about it more than once.
Yeah, and it's leaning that way up there on the in the trailer, which is, you know, the consequences of Superman's actions in the first one. Right? We have to have consequences. If we don't have consequences, the DC cinematic universe is completely screwed up. And they put themselves in a dangerous position here because they're trying to root a superhero movie in the real world, and that is a dangerous thing to do, because if you apply the real world to what is, you know, basically fantasy stories, you end up with things like cities destroyed, huge body counts, and people reacting to Man of Steel the way they did. And you can do that in the comic books. You can have like supreme power, one of the more recent versions of Squadron Supreme, where they rooted it very much in the real world, and it was a bloodbath, because you get people with incredible powers and things like that, and they're running around, they're going to break stuff and people. And so Warner Brothers took what is arguably a very dangerous risk by giving Man of Steel its very quote-unquote grounded in reality treatment. So if you don't have the set of consequences, from that behavior, mm-hmm. from that sort of stuff. You can never have anything remotely resembling even the hint of a moral center, which when it comes to Superman, you have to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if what it looks like we're going to get, and it's still their movie to completely screw up, but it looks like we're actually going to get that, which is the consequences of, you know, and if we don't get Superman going, and it will never happen again, then we still have the same problem.
Well,
but
even if you have somebody else telling him it can never happen again, and he says, yes, I know, then that removes, that takes him out of the equation still, because he's still a reactive character. And
yeah, but he has to be the one to
choice.
Say it. And
I agree.
And I think that he has to be, we have to have the scene where he's like going, I know what happened. I know what I'm responsible for. Mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera. You have to have that. And so it looks like we got a little bit of that in the trailer. Now what we got...
And you see that in his face, honestly, if we can talk about an acting moment from Superman there. In the scene with his mother, you do actually see that in his face.
Yeah, a little
where
bit.
Where you see a little bit of... I don't know what the exact word is, but you see the regret in his face. Like, it seems like they've probably just had that conversation.
Well, What's curious about that scene...
Which is also really irresponsible parenting on well, her part to say, you don't owe this world anything. You owe this city, New York, because you destroyed it.
Yeah.
You owe this world, yeah. New York.
And that line kind of rubs me the wrong way when she sits there and goes and says, you don't owe this world anything like that. Well, wait a minute.
I just feel
why is he here?
You
it's
live
clear
here.
That Kevin Costner's the better parent.
Yes.
Well, and but you look.
Sure.
Well, you look at.
Let me stand in a tornado so you don't get found out.
He said better, not brighter.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I see that scene is a little disconcerting for that. But at the same time, it's also a trailer, so we don't even know if there's like lines
the
of dialogue in between. It's all. It sounds really dramatic. But there's there's complete context missing.
Right, I get that. But it just seems so off tone for either of his parents to be saying some of the things.
Well, but it could also be her, again, complete speculation at this point. It could be her saying that and his, because they cut to that reaction shot of him as soon as she says it, and it looks like he's going, what? And it could very easily be him. The next line could be him saying, "I can't believe you said that.
You're wrong, mother."
And then her saying, "Well, that's good. You're supposed to not believe I said that."
And then he laser beams Diane Lane into oblivion.
I will never watch another Superman film again because Diane Lane is full of awesome.
And then he really has no parents.
That's right.
Okay, so my reaction to the trailer is that they reacted to fan reaction. Because it is well stated. There's a really good BAFTA interview with David Goyer. I mean, where he basically just stands there and says, no regrets. This is our Superman. You have to
Goyer,
get rid of...
Goyer did a good interview?
Goyer did a seminar. It's a group of seminars from BAFTA. Really, really good seminars. But they do have... but Goyer is talking about, is like, we wanted to... change 75 years of legacy and blah blah blah, and we wanted to make something that was new and fresh, and to do that we had to have Superman kill and stuff, and you can, in the audience you don't really hear the groans, but it's like you can almost hear the audience groan watching it, and it just shows just how much Snyder and Goyer do not have a firm grasp on who Superman is,
right?
Because they want to, and I take that back. They have a very firm grasp as to who Superman is. What they don't have a firm grasp of is that is 75 years that you cannot mess with. You know, that is a iconic character. You know, it's like that line where she says, you don't owe this world anything. I feel like that's them saying, screw you, audience. That's how we feel about our audience. We
it
don't owe
be.
You anything.
Well, and some of that too, I mean...
Because it really feels like they backpedaled and like, uh-oh, the fanboys, everybody's really mad on Facebook and Twitter, which is really the only audience that matters now.
Right.
They're really mad. They're really upset that Superman killed somebody. So we have to make an entire movie showing Superman's bad. He had to learn something.
Well, and I think, and this goes back to something that Tim and I have talked about before, is the fact that the reaction to Man of Steel was so mixed, and I think surprisingly so, because of all of that, that they sat there and said, how do we fix this? And right. That's probably the conversation where Snyder said, hey, you know what would be fun? Yuck, yuck, yuck. What if Bruce Wayne got a crate full of kryptonite?
Yeah.
You know, as a joke, of course, quote-unquote so-called. But I think that's probably the same conversation. How do we fix this?
We get more Batman into it?
Well, the answer to fixing it is, well, let's put Batman in it.
Yeah.
And that's what it is now with more Batman. That seems to be the answer to everything that Warner Brothers is trying to do right now. And I hate to say it, I'm getting tired of Batman. Because he's everywhere.
I don't have anywhere near the reaction you guys are having. Because again,
because you're numb. You're not.
Because you're that getting what it. You want.
They've beaten you.
No, I'm getting. I'm getting what I needed. Or at least, let me qualify that. It looks like I'm getting what I needed in terms of storytelling. Because at the end of the day, when I look at this film, when I look at Man of Steel, I look at it. It wasn't always easy, but I took apart the lifetime fan of Superman thing and looked at it from a story standpoint. And we come back to the fact that if you're going to set it in a world where Jonathan Kent lived through Vietnam, Watergate, all the stuff that real people lived through, he's going to look at the government and go, I don't want my kid falling into their hands. Keep your head down, Clark. So we get the speech that we all kind of sat there and went, does that really sound like Jonathan Kent? Well, yeah, if you put him in this world.
Right.
And then if you end up putting in somebody in that world, and then you end up having them have a big giant battle scene in Metropolis, which you cannot evacuate anywhere near that, you know, movie speed, you're going to end up with a bloodbath. And this is what I think listening to David Goyer ever talk is always a mistake. Because, I mean, there are times when he's actually a fairly decent writer. And there are other times.
Name
when,
one. Name one.
Blade.
Name another one.
Okay.
Wrong. Yeah, but even if you accept Blade was a long time ago.
Oh, I know.
Like I said, scene of the first Blade was kind of cool. Other than that, everything stunk.
Well, see, there you go. It's a matter of opinion. He's also just like he's not really good at speaking in public. He has a tendency to open his mouth and say the stupidest crap.
Yeah.
Without any thought. Now
he does that
from
a lot.
The writer of Dangerous Toys.
Yes, that too.
Comes.
So, but you know, like I said, they really kind of gave themselves a weird task here because Marvel didn't do it this way, and that's to Marvel's credit. Is that it looks kind of like the real world, but it does not behave in any way, shape, or form like the real world. Okay. Right. We don't have, you know, floating helicarriers and giant organizations that are very, giant secret organizations that are very public.
Giant Sears in the middle of Smallville.
Exactly. Well, that too. I mean, Sears, come on. Is Sears even still open?
Yeah.
That was right a brand new Sears.
I know.
So, a brand new IHOP.
Well, Smallville's booming. It's the wheat trade. But you know, so it's the Marvel films feel like comic book movies. Warner Brothers went a different route, and it made things really, really hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I yes, throwing more Batman at it is their solution to everything. And to be honest, it's been their solution since everything since 1989.
Yeah,
this is not a new trend from Warner. Is
well,
like,
I don't know. I would say that it probably goes back to 85, 86 when Dark Knight Returns came out. Because Dark Knight Returns made a huge impact on the industry, industry. And then after that, everything was grimdark.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And then we had the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that got really...
I don't remember a lot of the 90s in comic books.
They got really grim.
Yeah. Jeff, you need to jump in here and what's your thought on stuff?
This trailer gave me what I needed. I'm excited. It excited me to see Batman fight Superman. I did not like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, though. I still don't like him as Lex Luthor. I think he looks like Jesse Eisenberg playing Jesse Eisenberg in Metropolis. The bat suit looks awesome. And I love the scene where Superman rips apart the Batmobile, even though they're using the Tumblr-style Batmobile from... the Dark Knight trilogy, it looks like. I also liked the scene at the newspaper where Perry White was saying, we don't want to see Clark Kent take on Batman. But in reality, we want to see Clark Can't take on Batman.
I would say that is it was terrible journalism right there from Perry White. I don't know what that. Right. What, yeah. There's got to be more to that conversation because I'm like, we do. That's what reporting.
We do. That's
happens.
The whole movie. Yeah.
That's a thing. What
well,
happens
I
in
Wonder
reporting.
Woman looked amazing from the little we've got to see of her.
You know, with everything, with all the hue and cry that everybody was doing over the fact that Gal Gadot was cast as Wonder Woman. She's not busty enough. She's not, you know, she's too skinny. She looked pretty good.
She looked great as Wonder. That is now, Jeff, where you had many nice things to say about the trailer, I will say that.
And I was also wondering who Superman's lawyer was going to be.
Yeah. The only good thing that the only thing I liked about the trailer came after the fact when there was that GIF that was out on the physics of like, where it showed the scene of Zod shooting up the
Wayne Financial.
Where
they matched it. Yeah.
And they matched it physically. Like, from a technical standpoint, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Everything else about the trailer, I was, you know, I first saw it on my phone. I did. There was this little fanboy in me that got really excited. I got really excited. I was like, oh, I get to see Batman fight Superman and stuff. And then that subsided. And I watched it again, and I was like, this has the potential to be a train wreck of a movie. I mean, this and when you start analyzing, you know, things like the Martha Kent line, you know, it was just like she says in that one line that is against everything Superman stands for.
Yeah, but as you even said, it's, you know, the context is everything.
Context,
so we have absolutely no idea what's going to be happening in this film.
She
it's just
could be talking about Pluto.
Yeah.
And we've all seen those trailers that, you know, it doesn't matter which studio it is.
What was that, Jeff?
It does have the tendency to maybe become bloated. The movie could easily become very bloated with all the characters that they're cramming into the movie and the trailer and the everything else.
Yeah, because we haven't even seen Aquaman yet.
He's going to get 5 minutes. Wonder Woman's going to get 10.
I don't know. She's the girlfriend.
I bet she gets more.
She's going to have more because according to Snyder, She's the entry point into the whole Justice League thing.
Yeah, okay,
so she's got to. She's going to have
get 10
more.
Because 30 minutes of the movie is going to be the fight scene.
Yeah,
and they'll
just 30.
Just 30. Well, yeah, because there'll be 15 minutes of the two of them basically yelling at each other.
Well, yeah,
and this is me saying that, and I liked the trailer. I'm looking forward to, like I said, they're showing me some of the things I needed to see. But we also know how this structure goes.
Right.
I mean, it's not just a DC thing. You look at how Avengers: Age of Ultron was. Mm. You know, there's beats to this.
Right.
There's a style
to
this, and I think that you know you can break out of it like Guardians of the Galaxy did or Ant-Man does, because it's a heist movie.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's ways to do it, but at the same time, it's I'm fully expecting a formula.
One thing that I will say Marvel has done better than DC, they have gotten pretty good about, at least the ones that I've seen. They're like, well, we're going to make this kind of movie. It's just going to have this superhero in it.
Right. And
whereas
that's,
DC's like making superhero movies.
And that's what I said in my review. Ant-Man is, you know, Captain America the Winter Soldier was a political thriller.
Mm-hmm. With Captain
with
America.
Capes. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man is a heist movie with capes, and that's the approach that they're taking. You know, Iron Man was, you know, a terrorist thing with superheroes. Mm-hmm. It was not a superhero movie first. And Tim, you're right. They do make Marvel makes comic book movies, whereas Warner Brothers makes movies based on comic books.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's a huge distinction between those two.
And in all fairness to Warner Brothers, we've got exactly one movie in this universe
right.
so far.
Green Lantern!
No.
It wasn't part of this universe.
No, it wasn't part of this universe.
It was supposed to be.
But, yeah, well, this is true. But that's why we're getting Green Lantern Corps and and recasting.
Right.
I guarantee you, cloth costumes. Costumes made of clothing.
There will be.
Well, but I think that, I mean, DC has gotten it right in the past on the page. You look at something like I was just talking to somebody about this not too long ago. Justice League International. It was you on the phone.
Yeah.
Justice League International. The Keith Giffen.
Mm-hmm.
80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bwahaha universe.
The Bwahaha. Exactly.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. That was slapstick comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Plus superheroes.
Yeah.
It was.
And
great.
Batman.
Yeah. But even Batman was. I mean, it was the funniest he's ever been written.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, he's funnier there than he was in the hands of Adam West.
You know what I want to see? When you want to see in Green Lantern Corps, I want to see Batman give the one punch.
Oh,
the
yeah.
One
that's,
punch.
That's
to
the
Scott
one
Gardner.
Punch has
that's
to be
the crossover.
There.
That's,
yeah.
That's,
there, yeah. There
that's
it
the
is.
Appearance where he shows up and just decks him and leaves.
You know, he'll be there.
Yeah, because it's Batman. Now with more Batman.
In fact, I would pay good money to see at the end of the film, it's just like, you know, the Green Lantern Corps has triumphed, and let's go meet the Justice League. And they saw them there, and they fly down, and as soon as they land, Batman just punches Guy Gardner right in the face and knocks him up for no reason whatsoever.
Cut to black, right there. Yeah. The one punch is the mid-credit scene.
I really want the whole DC universe to cinematic universe to work, just because we'll get the blue and gold eventually, you know, because they've got to have the buddy movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, see, and that goes over to the TV side of things where we talk about.
We'll get it on TV.
We'll get it on the TV.
Universe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because
Booster.
I still think that Ray Palmer was supposed to be Ted Kord. Yeah.
Sure, but okay, but Booster Gold, and Blue Beetle are not, as things stand now.
Yeah.
There's the qualifier. As things stand now, they are not. They do not fit into the. Our current ideas of what the DC cinematic universe is going to be.
Right.
They are comedy characters. And once we get past these two movies, we're all in the like, okay, we're going to do whatever kind of things we want. It's not going to all be the same thing.
Mm.
We're not going to get them. Yeah, we're not going to get the slapstick duo.
Well, I don't think we would get that until after Shazam. Because Shazam would be a good place where you could introduce some comedy. Because he's 14 years old.
Yeah, well,
and a 14-year-old in a 34-year-old man's body, that is some opportunity for some comic.
That's basically what I am now.
But
you're 14. When did you get old?
Mentally.
I was thinking.
But I think that's where 12. you can introduce some of the comic aspects of this whole being a superhero thing, and you know, kind of like Star-Lord.
Mm.
You know, this whole this is so cool. And that's your entry point into that, not only with the magic,
mm-hmm.
but also the comedy. And I think after that, then you've opened up the door a little bit more that you could do something a little more fun. But I think Warner Brothers has shot themselves in the foot to begin with.
They aren't having any fun.
No. Well, these are not fun movies.
Well, we keep talking about buddies and like best friends with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, but we have two best friends that are in the Justice League together who are going to get movies, the Flash and Green Lantern.
Well, yeah, but depending on which Green Lantern you're talking about.
Depending on which Lantern is in the Justice League.
Yeah, because that's still up in the air. We don't know who is going to be the Green Lantern in...
Well, the good news is they have more than one good choice.
Right.
For the Justice League thing, they're probably going to do Justice League Unlimited.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like they're doing Justice League Unlimited with Batman versus Superman. Because you've seen some of the stills that they've matched up,
mm-hmm.
the frames and the still images and some of the shots from the trailer, they've matched up from shots from the animated. You know, Bruce and Diana together and this battle scene and this sequence and all that. And the thing with the bracelets coming together, where she knocks the bracelets together and does this little shockwave thing in the trailer, that's out of Justice League Doom. We just sat and watched that the other night, the animated picture. And she did it in that one, too. So that's none of it's new.
Except that was with Cheetah.
Right, but it's slamming the bracelets together and doing this thing. And Snyder's just cribbing from other stuff.
Well, that's kind of making a superhero movie in general. I mean, look, I'm sorry.
But if you're going to copy Bruce Timm,
that Snyder hate is a little ridiculous.
But if you're going to copy Bruce Timm, just hire Bruce Timm.
Well, Bruce Timm is busy over doing Justice League Dark. I mean,
I know, but,
Are we ever going to get that movie?
They've got it. I don't know.
We're never getting Justice League Dark. No.
What did I hear recently? Del Toro's gone, but yeah, haven't they hired some writers or something to do another pass?
We're never getting Justice League Dark.
I don't know.
The bubble will burst before then.
See, you keep saying that. I don't know.
The bubble will burst. I'm trying to figure out what the... I haven't put the death clock yet. I haven't put the death clock as to when the bubble is going to burst on
You
this.
Said 2 years.
Did I say 2 years?
Yeah,
then I'll have to stand
two
by
years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're starting to see the... What did Ant-Man gross?
It hasn't done as well as they were expecting.
Well.
But it's still
60?
I think it's close. It's close to 60.
Do a little research on that, Timmy.
To the internet. But I think a lot of people, Ant-Man is going to take a hit because
it's Ant-Man.
Because Age of Ultron burned people out on the whole death and destruction, and they're looking at it going.
That's what I'm saying, you're going to burn people out when you have things
but
like...
But Ant-Man is so much fun.
I mean, it's much better.
Now, granted, the evil villain is telegraphing in every scene that he's got. Mwahaha, twisty mustache and everything. I mean, he just is paint-by-numbers villain, pastiche. But the core of the story, I mean, it's really not... It's not... Darren Cross's story. It's Scott Lang's story and Hank Pym's kind of his story too. So, you know, Darren Cross is just a piece of that machine. He's just a cog in the machine to tell that other story. But I don't know.
Weekend numbers are 58 million. Foreign total, worldwide total is 114.
That's not too bad.
Million.
I mean, that's respectable.
Oh yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's not.
I'm sure that's obviously under. They were looking at 60 to 65, so that's very close to their estimation. I would say that's actually pretty good, considering right now the audience is just buying whatever you're selling.
Right, and not only that, it's not like there's no Robert Downey Jr. in this. There's no Chris Evans.
Yeah.
There's no, you know.
But you're like, you have to make movies like Ant-Man. You know what I mean? Like fun movies, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen it yet. I haven't had a chance to go see it. But those are the ones that I like.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They really,
yeah.
Like, Avengers, the first one was a lot of fun. I have not seen the second one just because I literally just couldn't get excited about it. You know, I was just like, oh, here's another one where they blow up a bunch of stuff. I guess I'm just getting old. You know, get off my lawn. Whereas something like Ant-Man, you know, this looks like a fun little heist movie about a guy the size of ants. This could be fun. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it's like, this looks fun.
And we could talk about that on Level 1187, which is our Marvel show, not our DC show.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay, so when I say the bubble bursting, you know.
You're talking about superhero shows altogether.
Altogether.
Yeah.
You know, because, and it's not going to be Marvel's fault, you know, because they have a pretty decent little track record going. They're doing interesting things like Ant-Man. I'm really, really, really worried about not only DC, but Image, you know, stuff coming out of the Image, because now all these old Image heroes, because if you look at Image comics now, they don't do superhero books. I mean, they just canceled Witchblade. You know, I mean, they don't do superhero books.
I wasn't
aware
Witchblade was still being published.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it over at Image?
It was at Image.
Yeah.
Well, they do actual stories now. You know what I mean? They, like, if you look for good writing in comics now, you kind of go. You either go to whatever book Jeff Johns is writing, or you go to Image, and that's where, you know, your Brian Vaughns and your Scott Snyder's. Actually,
right.
I did read a collected thing of Scott Snyder's Batman run, which was very well written.
Well, yeah,
Snyder's
got a good
solid
rip right now. He's
yeah.
solid, and but see, the thing about it is, though, with Jeff Johns on your project, it doesn't necessarily mean, because Johns was one of the writers of the Green Lantern movie.
Which,
doesn't necessarily mean
yeah.
it's going to be
yeah.
good. I mean, Johns was the Green Lantern writer for how long? 10-15 years?
He brought him back.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, oh, great. Yeah, Jeff Johns is right. And it still was a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot more than the writing.
Well,
there were a lot of other problems with that film other than the
writing. There were, but a lot of it stemmed from the writing, from the time the number of stories they were trying to tell.
To defend the crappy costumes in the movie, they do explain why the costume is just energy, yeah, and not a cloth costume.
And you know, and it makes a perfect amount of sense in that, in the context of that film.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Just, it's a construct of the ring, and it always has been.
Sure.
It's
it just right. didn't look good.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
the problem.
Right.
Is at the end of the day, it just yeah. did not look good.
Right. So I don't.
The bubble may burst. The bubble may burst, but I think it'll be the cinematic bubble versus the TV bubble.
Yeah.
Because
I think the cinematic bubble.
I think the TV bubble still is a ways away.
Yeah.
Just because you can have that kind of thing with TV. I mean, we're not done with procedurals.
Right.
How long
right.
are procedurals? Law and Order was on air for, 45, 50 years?
And they're on CW.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, it's like...
So
I
the
mean,
numbers don't have to be as big on CW as...
Smallville ran for 10 years with no bubble.
Yeah.
You Smallville know? Ran for and 10 years with no plot.
Supernatural has run for almost 11 seasons now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's very...
They're not going anywhere.
I don't really know that it's going to be able to... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't know if we're ever going to make it to... You know, Civil War.
Well, let's see. Westerns had how many? Westerns
they had a long run.
25, 30 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Film noir had about 2 decades.
Right, but the bubble gets smaller and smaller each time.
Well
but how long did the Schwarzenegger run last?
Well, that was the 80s.
That was 15
until
years.
Until he became the governor.
So you went from westerns being 30 mm-hmm. to film noir being 20.
Well, no, film noir was earlier. So
you're just
around.
Getting smaller and
well,
smaller.
But look at the action thing. The action thing came out of and with the risk of sounding like I'm getting into politics, but I'm not. That was the Reagan era. That was
right.
a different time, and then we got into. Then really, you know, with Bush 1, you had the Gulf War. The world started to change. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we could go out and you know, save the world with the Americans are coming with their guns was starting to change in the minds of ourselves, but also in the world, which is the other part of the box office.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think also, too, I mean, that was the time we had Lethal Weapon.
Sure.
And... what was that one with Chris Rock and
well, that was a little
Jackie
after
Chan.
That was
Rush Hour.
At that point, you were getting to the point where you're satirical of what that was.
But I think Die Hard changed that model because all of a sudden you had the human
mm-hmm.
hero
yeah.
again. You had the guy who got hurt as really, opposed to Schwarzenegger going bullets.
It's kind of like yeah. one of those things you can always equate it to music.
Mm.
When we were in 1989. We didn't think the reign of Motley Crue would ever end. We were going to be listening.
I don't know
forever.
What you're talking about.
And
Motley Crue is still a relevant band. Well,
they're still
Warrant
around.
And Whitesnake. Hey, I have gone to a Motley Crue concert in this decade. So, anyway, so you never thought that would end, right?
Sure,
you kept going.
Sure, of course.
And I can
yes.
remember being
Duran
15, 14, mm-hmm. and sitting there and watching Headbangers Ball and Smells Like Teen Spirit comes on, and my friend and I just look at each other and we just go, this changes everything.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, it's not going to be that people are going to get sick of superhero movies. It's something culturally is going
There'll
to change.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
going to be a mm-hmm. change in what the audience wants. And mm-hmm. that could be, you know, that could, we don't know what, they're going to do a Star Wars. You know, I mean, that's kind of bulletproof, you know, but is
well,
that
yeah,
going
what,
to make
you would
people
hope.
Want?
It's, well, but the thing is that one of the reasons we're excited about Star Wars is because it isn't bulletproof. And we had three yeah. films of the Star Wars staggering around going, it's getting dark.
Yeah.
I'm coming to this, gonna, this is a
exactly.
big one.
And for those of you at home, turn to the old person on your right and say, what is he? What
who's,
does he mean?
What are they referencing?
Who's Elizabeth? Well, and I think for
this means Star Wars with even more Batman.
Yes, Star Wars.
Oh, the crossover is going to happen.
Well, Star Wars has their own Batman. His name is Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're getting that Solo movie. Well, not really, but we're getting that
yeah.
in the Han Solo movie.
Well,
see,
it's
are
Han
we sure?
Solo
I
and
think,
Boba Fett.
I think, well, I think Batman, is the Star Wars universe's Batman is Han Solo. I mean, because honestly, if you'd had this film come back with just Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher
oh,
and Harrison Ford hadn't been there.
Well, yeah.
Your audience would have sat there and gone.
Yeah, I can see.
I'm
yeah,
so excited.
From that standpoint, yes.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, yes. But in terms of the function of the character, what the characters do.
There's a reason he's the one that got the line in the trailer. You know,
yeah.
this is the reason why Han Solo got the line. But, you know, I mean, Boba Fett is your, you know, your big, I mean, he, you can't predict that.
Because he's dark and mysterious.
Yeah, I mean, you can't predict that the audience, our generation, is going to latch on to Boba Fett.
And easily defeated.
Yeah, well.
Yes. Well, technically.
By Han Solo.
By Han Solo.
Technically,
blind.
He
blind
is,
Han Solo.
Yeah.
Technically, he is still digesting.
It's true.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so he can still come out.
He's got a long ways to go.
Well, okay, speaking of long ways to go, we do have a little bit of a ways to go on this one. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk Suicide Squad. But I do want to, before we go to break, I want to touch on one thing from the trailer that we haven't talked about yet, is the Robin suit.
Oh, yes. Mm,
right.
You know, the joke's on you, Batman.
Yeah.
Ah.
Which I think off the air we were talking about, you know, that's, hey, story-wise, that's pretty cool, you know, that he's...
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I think this is more of a Batman movie, because this tells me, that one shot tells me, Joker killed Robin, Batman quit.
Mm-hmm.
And now Batman's coming back because, you know, he's now there's a new threat.
Well, I think it's that, but it's also the fact that there's one in the trailer where he talks about 20 years in Gotham and how many good guys are left.
Right.
And which tells you, okay, Batman, he started being Batman in his 20s. He's easily in his 40s, maybe 50.
Yeah.
That's wear and tear on a body that's going to wear somebody down. So on top of that, with the death of Robin, there's a good reason for him to step aside.
Yeah.
Plus, he also has to save the DC Cinematic Universe.
Well, that's
yeah, and that's a big heavy lift. Well, and the thing
it's
is
a cross
though,
to bear.
You know, and everybody's talking about Jason Todd, and we've seen
that
photographs.
Was my theory.
It's not Jason Todd's Robin suit.
See, I'm gonna believe that when I see it that it's not photoshopped.
Well, you know, I mean, there is always that possibility. But the leaked photos that I've seen, and we can give a spoiler warning here for anybody who wants to tune out for a second, but the leaked photos that I've seen has a headstone with the name Richard Grayson on it.
Well, it might make sense. TV is getting Dick Grayson.
Well, yeah, TV's getting Dick Grayson because TNT has got Titans, mm-hmm. and Robin is going to be in that. So maybe Warner Brothers sat there and said, okay, you guys can have the sidekick, and we'll kill him. Maybe.
I've just never seen a company so at odds as the cinematic universe versus the TV universe at DC Comics.
What's interesting is that the people involved in those universes, the actual actors involved, are all apparently gung-ho to cross over.
Oh yeah.
They're all just
yeah,
like, totally. That would be so cool.
Well, did you see the interview with Ezra Miller?
Yeah, he's like...
Ezra Miller's like, we're both Flash.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, yeah, and he's like, Grant Gustin's awesome.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And that...
If you were an actor in a superhero movie or a superhero TV show, wouldn't you want to cross over too?
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially if you're Absolutely. A DC Comics fan, because you've got the... I mean,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
it's built into the genes of the DC universe's crossover.
And I can tell you, if I was playing Batman, I'd want to be on every show. Because I'm Batman.
Well, you know what?
Because you've got to have Batman in every show.
Oh, but you know what? I guarantee you at some point, Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck have sat down together and went, you know we want to do this, right?
Well, and I'm wondering,
Tim,
because,
you just blew my mind.
Because
I'm going to go over in the corner.
You're
and hold,
welcome. I'm here
to
help.
I need to be held.
Because the rumor is that
just
the
like to be held.
Lego Batman movie, apparently the rumor is that all the Batmans, everybody who's ever played Batman, is going to be a version of Batman in the Lego Batman movie. Not just Will Arnett. You're going to get all the Batman.
But how are you going to tell that Val Kilmer's really there? I mean, honestly, I mean,
how are they going to get Clooney?
By calling him up and saying, "Will you come do this?" Because
Clooney will do it as a gag.
He will do it as a gag, especially because he'll do it as penance.
Is there blood coming
because
out of my eyeballs or ears?
He still blames himself for the death of that movie.
Well, see, it goes
and
back.
He would
to,
have the bat nipples.
Well, see, it goes back to what.
Legos? No, that's not right. You can't do that.
Well, and that could be how they do with Clooney's version. It's just one piece. It's just one. No, not you.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you just show a shot of him. He
still can't
do
it. And he walks away. You know.
He's got the. Anatomically correct suit on.
Yeah, yeah, and he just fine, and he walks out. Yeah, that's how you do.
You still,
that's how you
no,
do that.
You still blame me? Ah, runs away crying.
Yeah.
And Adam West would show up.
Oh, that'll be that would be cool.
No.
Okay, DC what? Comics do make this happen.
Yes.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, because you got to get Conroy.
Yeah,
you got to get
Conroy. Sure. I know. The mind, it reels.
Well, I know,
Adam
doesn't it?
Burt Warner already doing an animated movie.
I am, actually.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. The Batman 66. There's an animated Batman 66 that's going to come out next year for the 50th anniversary. And Adam West and Burt Ward are reprising their roles as Batman and
Robin.
That'll
be kind of fun. Does Scooby-Doo show up at any point?
Scooby-Doo, Kiss, all of them.
Globetrotters.
Okay,
Caesar Romero.
Gilligan's Island.
They have to get somebody else to do Gene Simmons' voice, because if Gene Simmons even shows up to record, it automatically bumps up to R. So.
All right. That's good. That's a good spot for us to just
I'm sweating from thinking about all those things. I am actually sweating.
Well, it goes back to, like, Billy Dee Williams said. He says, nobody else can play Lando except me. So anytime, you know, Robot Chicken, Lego Movie, anytime there's anything coming up with Lando Calrissian, he is so fully invested in protecting that character.
Sure.
He doesn't want anybody else voicing that character. It's I've got to play Lando because I want to make sure that it's done right. I want to do right by the character, and you can't guarantee that with anybody else. And it was so funny because he recorded the Lando stuff. He was down at Smallville Comic Con a few weeks ago at a panel, and anytime he gets called to do a Lando voice, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. And he had no idea that he was recording the Lando lines for the Lego Movie. He thought it was going to be some TV project or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's just some little, you know, it's a one-off. You go in for an hour, you record some lines, it's no big deal, right? And he gets all of these different requests, like Robot Chicken and whatever. Yeah. He's doing TV stuff. And they go to see the Lego Movie. He goes, oh, that's what this was for. Okay, oh, this is cool. And he didn't even realize he was in the Lego Movie until he saw it. Because he thought it was some TV thing he was doing. Okay, when we come back, we are going to talk Suicide Squad and a little bit about the Wonder Woman solo movie. We've got a few more details coming up out of that, as well as Green Lantern Corps. And we'll see how far that gets us when the Rogues Gallery continues here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Stand by.
This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Whoa, where'd you get that shirt?
Bought it at the convention last week. It's an Atomic Cotton design.
Atomic Cotton?
Yep, they got t-shirt designs from sci-fi, horror, cult films. All the shirts were really unique and fun. I had to get one.
I gotta wait for another convention, though.
Nope, AtomicCotton.com. I ordered a shirt, shipping was super fast.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at AtomicCotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
We wear our underwear on the inside of our clothes, just like Superman does now. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Back on the Rogues Gallery, Jason Hunt here, along with Kendall Sin, Tim Harvey, James Hunt, and Jeff Hackworth. And if you want to participate and leave us a comment or share your thoughts, you can always drop us an email, roguesgallery@scififormedia.com, or you can call our freshly reset hotline, 573-42-SCIFI, and leave a message there. Let us know what you think about this or any other conversation we have. Yes, we have a hotline.
When did get a hotline?
We've had a hotline for a while. It's just we don't use it that much.
I am going to start pranking that number. You are going to get some 2 a.m.
Which is why we didn't used to have a hotline.
You are going to get some 2 a.m. drunken voicemails.
All I got to do is just double check the phone number because we record it'll record them all, and we'll just turn it over to the FBI.
You're going
to
have your new bumper music when I call you up at 3 a.m. singing to you.
You know, I need to get Tom to do one that says, "Now with more Batman."
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Batman, he shows up in the Suicide Squad trailer.
What is apparently
on
a flashback.
Top of Harley's car.
Is that a flashback?
That's the scuttlebutt. Is that it's a flashback? It sort of gives the
your own butt.
When we get the Harley origin
story,
it's going to be why she's in jail.
Fifteen, twenty minutes
of that movie is going to be flashbacks of how everybody got there.
I see.
Gotcha.
That's just, when you have an ensemble cast like this and you're bringing this many villains into place.
And you
place,
have to introduce them to the audience because the audience doesn't know who they are.
20 minutes.
And what's kind of funny is, nobody cares. Nobody really cares anything about anyone else in the cast. Everyone just was like, when's the Joker going to show up?
Well, it's Joker and Harley. It's Joker and Harley.
Yeah. I want to say something about
Joker. Poor
Will
Smith.
Okay, go ahead and say something about Joker.
He doesn't look as old as he should be.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. I have a couple of things about the Joker that are very interesting to me about what they're doing with the Joker in this cinematic universe.
Okay.
Especially when you look at something like Gotham, which is where clearly the ages are massively reversed.
Yeah. We don't really want
to
talk about.
We don't want to talk about Gotham. We're not going to. But Jared Leto has got one of those faces that doesn't look.
He doesn't age
a particular age.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Joker is, if you look at the comic books,
he doesn't age.
He doesn't age.
Yeah.
Especially in and this is what I was just talking about with the Scott Snyder thing, that Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
He's immortal.
Where it's one of those things where it's like he's trying to do something
right
with it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like that he's been around since don't we already have that in Vandal Savage or somebody?
Vandal Savage is immortal. Yes,
but he's not.
He's not an agent evil. He's not the Michael Myers.
He's not an agent of chaos the way an agent. Where the Joker is very much. He's the personification of madness.
Chaos fairy?
in the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
The second Nolan movie that Heath Ledger played Joker,
mm-hmm.
there was a great line in there where he's in the hospital talking to Harvey Dent. He said, "I don't have a plan. I'm a dog chasing a car. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it if I ever catch it. I just do things, you know." And I think that sums up the Joker so perfectly.
Yeah.
In some respects.
Right.
Now, in other respects, he knows exactly what he's doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not one of these things. He's spontaneous in what he's doing, figuring out, okay, I'm going to do X and so as my goal. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to have fun along the way. I'm just going to blow stuff up and make things, crazy and chaotic on my way to this point X down here destination.
Well, even more than characters clearly if you take all the cinematic and TV and comic book Batmans and line them up through history, they're all going to look very, very different because there were different stories told at different times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that goes
back to the whole cultural thing too.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to reconcile that Bruce Wayne with this Bruce Wayne with that Batman with that Batman. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't fit, and they're clearly, that's why, reboots are occasionally a thing that happen. But the Joker, oddly enough, is one of those characters that no matter where you pull him out of his own timeline, he's always the Joker. Mm-hmm. There's never a sense of, even when he's being just silly, you're going, well, he's silly now, but when he leaves this comic book and walks off frame, he's shooting somebody. It's just, the Joker is always crazy. The Joker is always... So I don't have a problem with the way he looks age wise. That's not doesn't bother me, and I'm still waiting for him to reach up and wipe one of the tattoos off his head.
Right.
The tattoos are an affectation that are going to go away. They're not an ongoing thing. I'm pretty convinced of that.
You think?
Yeah.
You know what he looks like to me? He looks like a mix between Marilyn Manson and. A hardcore Insane Clown Posse fan, also known as a Juggalo.
So. Which we all know you are.
Well, I mean,
we all know you're a juggalo.
Right. But I think Jeff's got an interesting point there with the Marilyn Manson comparison, because a lot of people think Marilyn Manson is crazy. The whole persona that he has come up with is one of those very wild, you know, like Kendall said, the agent of chaos. And it's with as much as we're getting maybe in flashback, it's possible that the Joker that we've seen so far is past tense.
Sure.
Joker.
Oh yeah. Well, and I think the Marilyn Manson thing is a little interesting because he's a poor man's Alice Cooper. And for you kids at home,
that is such a good way to describe it.
And
turn on the Golf Channel, and you can not see who Alice Cooper is.
And the older he gets, the more he looks like the character he was playing in the 70s. But the thing, you know, Alice Cooper was the original, and actually he wasn't the original shock rocker. There were people before him, but he was the one who really exploded. And people thought he was insane. People thought he was, people believed in his act. There were parents groups up in arms.
Right.
It was just like, and he's just sitting there going,
he is of the devil.
He's like, are you serious? Guys, I'm playing a part.
Yeah.
And I saw an interview with him one time. I think he's Baptist. Is he Baptist or Methodist or something? Isn't his dad a minister?
I think I heard that.
But he grew up in a church, actively participating in a church, and he said this whole thing came from trying to provide a cautionary tale. Don't do this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
listen to his lyrics.
It's another one where the visuals overpowered the story. He's actually a really good storyteller when it comes to his lyrics. But Manson, and so Marilyn Manson sat there and looked at that or things like that, and he does his spiel. Okay, that's fine. Yep. You know, it's like Lady Gaga as a poor man's Madonna. You know, it's every generation has one of these folks. Okay, the difference is I think Alice Cooper ages better.
Yeah.
In terms, you look back at the Alice Cooper stuff, and it's a lot more fun.
Most of that music ages better than anything from the 90s or the early aughts.
But, you know, he looks kind of like that. I've heard him described as the Hot Topic Joker.
In skinny jeans.
Yeah. It's
easy to cosplay.
We've had tiny bits of the Joker here. And I actually was perfectly fine with when he came up and said, "I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad." I was like, "Okay,
yeah, I'm on board with this one line."
Yeah. This
in
line
the context
has made me
of happy. This in the context of this movie, this trailer, I think that worked.
Now, tell me if this idea is crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
After you hear my idea.
Welcome to the show.
Oh wait.
See, now he starts putting qualifiers.
I know.
On it.
I mean, come on.
What if Dick Grayson was a comic book death and he's the Joker?
Well, see, now I have seen online the scuttlebutt, as it were, that this Joker could be Jason Todd. Because Batman Beyond, there was an animated version where Tim Drake was brainwashed into being a Joker type of thing, or something. I don't think that's the case. I think this is the Joker.
I would much rather see that version than a Dick Grayson as the Joker version, because Frank Miller did that, and it was awful. And it was the worst sequel, and We're getting another one.
Yeah,
we're getting a third volume.
Dark Knight Rises.
The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Really? Dark Knight Returns.
Who was asking for this?
Explains why.
DC.
No. Yeah, DC. Yeah.
Why?
The Bean Counters. That's who was.
Because
who was
well, see, this goes back. This goes back to my
more
my,
Batman.
When I said that Dark Knight Returns changed everything.
I know, but
DC wants to go back to the well and see if.
But
there's
the problem
anything else
is
there.
They did, and it was the second volume. And it was bad, and it was critically panned, and the sales numbers were not great, and the fans hated it. And one of the things they hated about it was, spoilers for a 15-year-old, 20-year-old comic book.
That's right, 30, 10.
No, not the original one.
Never mind.
Which is, Dick Grayson did it. You know, and the whole Batman and Robin, the Frank Miller Batman and Robin,
all star,
you know,
all star Batman.
It was terrible, and the fans hated
it.
But it's Frank Miller.
Yeah, I know, but
DC.
But Frank Miller has so gone off the rails.
Yeah, DC still sees a name they can sell. Yeah. It's like Grant Morrison.
I know.
You put Grant Morrison in front of something, and somebody's going to buy it. Put Frank Miller in front of something, and somebody's going to buy it.
I'll buy things from Grant Morrison till, you know, he stops writing.
What if they put Frank Miller in charge of heavy metal?
No, we'll say Frank Miller can write his Sin City books. Because the Sin City books, as much as I love film noir, you look at it, there's a certain percent of those books that allow you to be nasty and unpleasant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the environment is nasty and unpleasant.
Right.
That does not translate well over to Batman. And if you want to tell those stories, and he did, he went off and told them in different ways,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was Holy Terror, which was...
I didn't read it.
Well, there's nothing worth reading about. It's bad. And it's a shame. It's a shame because the man really can be a very, very talented writer. But I don't know. It's just, I'm okay, it's a bean counter thing.
But it's that kind of thing that is one of the reasons why we're getting a Suicide Squad movie, because this is sort of a Magnificent Seven through the lens of a Batman filter, and at the same time, you're getting exactly what Will Smith's character says in the movie: we're expendable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a throwaway, and I would say that's probably true for everybody except him and Harley.
Oh, sure. Well,
you've said it. Everybody can die except those two.
Yeah, and it's I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Suicide Squad from back in the 80s and the John Ostrander. The Ostrander run.
Yeah, that was a really good run.
It rolled out of Legends. Was it Legends?
Yeah. It was that period.
The post-crisis Legends and then this. And it was, at the time, it was shocking. Because remember, guys, this was the 80s, early 90s, where all of a sudden you'd have characters that you'd seen in comic books for years and years and years, and Amanda Waller goes, "Nope," pushes the button, and their head blows up, and you're like going, "Oh, what?"
Yeah,
she just toasted whoever it was.
Kingsman, where their heads blow up, all pretty like,
yeah. Well, and even though we're not getting CCH Pounder as Amanda Waller, Viola Davis looks like she's doing the Wall.
She's doing the Wall, yeah.
As opposed to Skinny Waller.
Yeah.
But one thing that I did notice in that trailer, and I don't know if this is necessarily a spoiler for Batman V Superman, but so far, in all of the marketing for the Batman movie, we have not heard that character called Superman.
Oh, yeah.
All through Man of Steel, he was Kal-El, and in the trailers and everything else, he's not been called Superman yet. And Amanda Waller, in Suicide Squad, calls him Superman. Mm-hmm. And we know this movie is coming out after Batman V Superman. So that tells me, right off the bat, I mean, I already know how Batman V Superman is going to end, because he's Superman, supposedly.
And now that she's calling him that, that
tells me that at the end of that movie, everything's going to be fine, and he's going to be Superman, he's going to be a hero, and we're all wearing rose-colored glasses
I think he was called Superman once.
In the trailer? No, not in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Was he?
I think so.
On the mic. In front of the mic.
Right.
You're sideways to the mic. On top of the mic. Okay.
Well, wasn't it one of those things where Lois Lane, where somebody started to say Superman?
Yeah, there was one of those. Yeah, there was one of those. Well, on the whole, it's not an S thing.
Yeah. Now, as far as this trailer goes, I will say, in comparing the two trailers, the movie I'm more interested to see is Suicide Squad, because I don't know how it's going to end. We know how Batman versus Superman is going to end.
True.
They're going to end up buddies. They're going to form the Justice League. Everybody is all roses, and you know they go on to have a great life together.
Suicide Squad is going to end with at least five of the team dead.
Yes, and obviously, we'll keep,
and Joker on the loose.
We'll keep Harley, Katana, and Deadshot. And I kept forgetting that Katana was in there.
Yeah,
she's going to be a character they're not going to kill off.
Right, they need the female,
and they'll use Katana to spin off the Outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Boomerang's, I think Boomerang's expendable in
I think
the
he's probably
universe.
Good to go.
But he might, yeah, I mean, depends. I mean, it depends on how audience
well,
responds
they need
to him.
Him,
but...
Well, they might
well,
they might
they
keep
need
him around
the Flash. Show,
that's yeah. So. That's what I say. They're going to keep him around. They're going to keep him around as a potential villain for the Flash movie.
Yeah.
Wait.
But
that's true.
There. Yeah. But no, he's. But he's. He. I'd say 50-50 on him.
Yeah.
For Suicide Squad, with Katana, there's going to be two.
Two what?
Katanas, because Arrow. And Suicide Squad.
Well, yeah, but Katana on no. Arrow has not. She's not a regular one. And she left. Died. She walked out
and
at the end of the season.
And
she's
they basically
done.
Pulled
quit.
Suicide Squad out of the Arrow universe.
Well, they pulled Deadshot. They didn't pull the whole team, but yeah, Deadshot especially. But what I'm thinking is they're going to keep Katana alive. One, because she's Asian, so there's representation there, because that's more critical than story. And they can use her to spin out for the Outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And become Batman's new sidekicks with...
Are we really going to get a Batman and the Outsiders?
We're going to get Batman and Suicide Squad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like an actual movie, Batman and the Outsiders.
Why not?
No, I don't think so.
Why not? After well, because he's got the solo movie.
I want to see Metamorpho.
Because there will come a point when Ben Affleck cannot spend all of his time being the DC Universe's linchpin.
No, I know, but he's going to be Batman for the Outsiders movie. And the outsiders will get their own thing. I mean, Affleck may show up for a day on set and he does this thing in the costume and he kicks them off and they all go off, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they shoot his pieces while they shoot the Batman solo film could set up the Outsiders. You know, there's all sorts of different ways you could do it, but they keep Katana alive. If Katana stays alive in Suicide Squad, they're gonna work toward an Outsiders movie.
She's going to stay alive because we have at least two shots in the film where she looks tormented. So they're going to spend some character development time with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there is that.
And so we're going to get character development out of Harley because it's Harley.
Yeah, sure. They need her.
Where it's Will Smith does not show up on a film to not do character development.
Yep.
even if it's poor character development.
Oh, yeah, we know he's going to... Unless they pull a Psycho and kill him off in the first 20 minutes, that'd be fun.
Well, you know, his career has not reached the point where he needs Suicide Squad. So
I think
they
he's,
could potentially kill
he's
him
He's
going
to be around for a while.
I don't know. I
they're
think
not going to, but
they're
they
not
could.
Going to.
You can get the Sean Bean treatment.
It's what? Oh, the
he's,
Sean Bean treatment?
He's not going to get the Sean Bean treatment.
See, Sean Bean needs to be in a DC Comics universe film just... And live just to sit there and throw us all off.
Who could he play though?
Well, let's see.
Alan Scott.
See, I'd be fantastic for him to play Alan Scott.
I think that would be fun.
Give me my Earth 2 crossover.
Sure.
Oh, he could be Vandal Savage.
You know what? He could do Vandal Savage really well because you know he could do bad.
Yeah.
And he could really not die because he's immortal.
Or you get the scene where you think you've killed Vandal Savage and he pops back up.
Yeah.
And Sean Bean looks right at the camera and goes, surprise.
Well, you know who else could play Vandal Savage?
Michael Ironside.
I hadn't thought about him.
Who is going to be on the TV show.
Yeah,
so
he's going to play Captain Cold's dad. Yeah. But I hadn't
Which
thought
I'm
about him.
Like, yes.
But who I was thinking of was Alan Rickman.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe
he could do. Oh, yeah, he could show up.
Or Christopher Lambert. Christopher Lambert.
Now that would be.
That would just be too meta.
That would be, and if he pulls out a sword and look, and again,
that could be only
he pulls
one.
Out a sword, looks right at the camera, and wiggles his eyebrows, and moves on.
Adrian Paul.
I am
either one. Either one of them.
Is he still acting?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, he could be Vandal Savage. Maybe.
Can we talk about how Killer Croc looks like a low-budget version of the Thing from the Fantastic Four?
It does,
Four?
Yeah, that does look like a bad makeup
Well,
job.
It looks like what they're going here is the more skin condition than mutated
actual,
anything.
Yeah, I just don't...
I don't think we're going to get any mutants or metahumans in this
right.
thing.
Right, same thing. I think that's more of a tattoo-type deal. You know, where it's like one of those things where, like, it's explained. He's still human. You know, it's explained.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least one of the origin stories for Killer Croc is that he's got this terrible skin condition, and he's got, and you know, he looks kind of like a lizard and became a, you know, so whatever. So I think it's fine. It's hard, again, it's so hard to tell with trailers because we get trailers off with unfinished effects all the time.
Yeah.
This is like the standard model anymore. It's like, here, have some footage, do something with it. We'll finish our CG later.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, so.
Well, you can't say there's no metahumans. Enchantress.
She's magic. She's not
magic. She's not meta.
She's not a meta.
But it does become the question of how they're going to handle magic in the DC.
Yeah.
Well, although, you know, you're bringing in Wonder Woman, you've already got an alien. Magic is not too hard to swallow. Past that.
That's true. But the thing is that the closest we got to magic in this this ballpark was Constantine. And we didn't get a chance for any kind of real crossovers there. Although the rumor is that he's not gone yet. But yeah, I mean, it should be very, very interesting. It's a very different visual look for Enchantress, which I don't mind. She doesn't look quite so stereotypical witch.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
What if we think Enchantress is dead? But it turns out she's not, and she returns as a villain for the Justice League movie and uses her magic against Superman in the Justice League movie.
That's a possibility.
Well, I think they really actually have to establish, and this is a good place to start because she appears to be a disposable character here, but you actually have to introduce magic at some point because if you don't want to go down the... hey, look at this kryptonite. Oh, no, kryptonite, not again. Root of Superman stories. Mm-hmm. You need to have one of his other vulnerabilities. And establishing that he's vulnerable to magic could be really, really cool. And that takes, I mean, you could have your Justice League story where every now and again it's a good idea to sideline your most powerful person.
Well,
By the way, why didn't Lex Luthor ever just really brush up on some magic tricks?
Because Lex Luthor is
because Now You See Me didn't do too well on the box office because
he's arrogant. That's the problem. That's at the end of the day. That's Luthor's problem. He's arrogant.
Yeah, he thinks he knows more than he does. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to make a prediction here. Justice League is going to be Darkseid,
probably,
and or Doomsday, because we're probably going to see something with Doomsday in this one, but I expect that Doomsday is going to be the cut to black.
This will be the precursor to Doomsday.
Yeah. And then
Doomsday begins.
And then you're going to get the second Justice League movie can be the one where they've got magic. Because in between now and then, you've got to build up your roster of villains. Because we don't have bad guys yet.
Sure.
We've got Luthor. Zod's dead. First. Do I?
Can they just face Starro first?
Starro,
just like
honestly, in this universe,
you could do that.
I would love to see a version of Starro in this universe because they would have their production designers would have a field day.
Yeah. But they wouldn't be able to do that one until after Shazam.
Make me a giant sentient starfish that will terrify the audience. They'd sit there and go, "All right."
Well, I think you got to have Shazam first.
And Star can have.
And then we get, at some point you got to have Dr. Fate.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Justice Society. I mean, there's all different places that you can bring in characters, mm-hmm. but there are no villains yet. I mean, Lex Luthor's not even a villain. So you've got to have your bad guys before, and especially if you're going
to
introduce magic. Enchantress,
you could Doom.
Bring in Wizard.
Sure.
And then do the body switch story.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's... That's a lot. I think you're more likely because you only have 2 years before the bubble bursts.
Yes, but this could reinvigorate the bubble because then you've got the body switch. You've got people acting like other characters.
You know what kind of stinks?
Superman
could just turn Wonder Woman into a pig.
my inherent problem that I've had so far with like superhero movies in general, especially the team up ones, is they're always facing the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always the destruction of the human race that they're up against. You know, there's never just, like, a caper.
Yeah, I've been watching Justice League Unlimited. I've just been going through it because I'm behind on stuff. So I've just been catching up on a lot of this. And I'm struck at how many different episodes in the first season of Justice League Unlimited have involved some kind of alien invasion
mm-hmm.
or some, you know, massive scale event that's going to destroy the planet.
And then later
it's old after a while.
Yeah, and then later you just get to the capers. mm-hmm. you know, and stuff, which is the fun part. You yeah. know, that's why we kept reading comics.
I think there's actually a short story called "It's Only the End of the World Again," which kind of sums it up for a lot of this stuff. Well, yeah, your problem is that you got to have your more bigger and bigger escalating threat.
Yeah,
and that's something that, you know, we had an alien invasion in the first Avengers movie.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's starting off big. We had an alien invasion in Man of Steel. At least it's an ships. Alien invasion that, you know, he knows the aliens.
And the right. ships all look the same, even in the Transformers movies. They yeah. all look the same. They all look like a crayfish.
Yeah.
That's how all the alien ships look.
Well, Green Lantern, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
I mean, it's
end of
it's,
the world.
It's end of the world. It's
destruction of the
entire
planet.
And that may actually be why the Batman is, the idea of doing a Batman film is so popular to these everybody involved, is that you don't have to go there.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, you could do like Daredevil level.
Yeah, your threat is to the city. Your threat is to individuals. Your threat is to even thousands and thousands of people. But it's not a earth shattering threat.
Also, are we didn't really talk about it, but in this universe, that Metropolis and Gotham are like New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, they're across the harbor.
They're
from
across
each other.
The harbor. They're they're sister cities.
Yeah, they're right across from each other.
How does everyone feel about that?
I'm fine with it.
It's all right.
Honestly, I'm fine with it because
it's better than Metropolis and Smallville being so close, like it was in the TV show.
Yeah, yeah,
right. No, yeah. I mean, to
Smallville
me,
was basically Fort Scott, and Fort Scott does not have an IHOP.
Well, that's just bad planning on Fort Scott. I'm just saying,
or a Sears.
Well, but that's because Sears is
we've
got a Hydrix.
Actually, we do. There's a guy.
We just have a Benjamin Franklin.
There are people in Hutchinson, Kansas, who have made the case that Hutchinson is the real life analog to Smallville, and they've got a pretty solid argument. they've gone back to things that you find in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, distance to Topeka, distance to Kansas City, distance to Salina.
That's cool.
Position, location on the map, and all of these different features that Smallville, Kansas has in the comic book, and they go, oh, we've got that, and we've got that, and we've got that, and you draw a line around the city limits of Hutchinson, Kansas, and it's the shield. It's the shape of the Superman shield.
they've
got
their
so many
town.
Different things. Well, no, they just here it is, look. And it's really, they do make a very compelling argument for Hutch to be Smallville. So, it's fun. You know, this kind of thing. These are the fun thing.
Oh yeah,
does it have an IHOP?
I think it does.
Okay,
I think I know that they got
surely
a waffle
has
house.
A Denny's.
They got a Waffle House.
They got an awful waffle.
Yeah. So, okay. That's going
we
to
have an
do.
IHOP.
We've got one or two up here in Kansas City.
Oh, so, we've got plenty. We've got more than we can shake a stick at.
So how about we go grab some waffles and chicken at IHOP? And next episode,
they don't have chicken and waffles at IHOP.
Well, see, burst my bubble.
Then what good are they?
Yeah. All right. So that's going to do it for us on this one. Next episode, we will talk about the television DC announcements coming out of San Diego Comic Con. In the meantime, if you've got your thoughts that you want to share with us, you can leave a comment or you can send us an email: roguesgallery@sci-fi-for-me.com. On the social media, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, and Tumblr, and YouTube. And you can always leave us a comment over at our main site, which is scififorme.com, where you can find the latest headlines. And that's going to do it for us. I want to thank everybody on the panel. Jeff Hackworth down in Fort Worth, Texas.
Thank you.
And here in the studio, James Hunt.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Kendall Sen.
Have a good night.
And Tim Harvey.
For
all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me Radio, my name is Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening. We will be back with another episode of Rogues Gallery soon.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.